And joining us now is Peter Robinson, who was also one of the speechwriters in the Reagan administration. I asked Dana Rohrabacher, Mr. Robinson, if he could identify what made Ronald Reagan the great communicator. Was it his speechwriters?
It certainly wasn't his speechwriters. If I can do nothing else in my moment or two with you, Linda, than this, I'll do it. The notion that the speechwriters somehow created Ronald Reagan instead of the other way around is just crazy. There were a lot of presidents with very fine speechwriters, but only one great communicator. It's also very important to bear in mind, in understanding Reagan as the great communicator, that he was a public speaker. Of course, we know he was an actor. What people tend to forget is that he was a frequent, indeed a constant public speaker from the 1940s on. 1948, he heads an organization called Hollywood for Truman. 1947, if I have the year correct, he was elected president of the Screen Actors Guild.
Right.
In both of those capacities, he begins giving speeches. In fact,
and he traveled the country as a sort of a...
the General Electric spokesman, exactly.
Right.
Now, all of these speeches, all of the speeches, until he was elected governor in 1966, he wrote himself and talked to the folks who worked for him when he was governor, and you'll discover that he did a substantial amount of his own writing even then and rewrote and edited speeches quite substantially, those speeches that were written for him.
Do you remember anything that you wrote for him to read that you were particularly proud of, that he maybe he reworked it but he read it?
He was extremely disciplined about the speeches. So he read, I don't remember what the speech was. The very point of this story is that the speech was not particularly important, greeting Girl Scouts or something like that. It was 6 pages. I remember that for some reason very clearly. I got it back the next morning from him, first page no change, second page no change, and I thought, oh, for once he's just sent a speech back without looking at it. Last page, next to last line, he had changed one word, which let me, young speechwriter that I was, know, listen, Buster, he reads every word of every one of these things. The speech I'm proudest of course, is the Berlin Wall address, the 1987 speech in which he challenged Gorbachev to tear down the wall.
And you had a role in that?
I wrote it, yes. Yes.
And did you write, you wrote that I understand that he was given a copy of it with the tear down the wall line in and one without it.
That's an extremely short version. It was a 3-week battle, really. I went to Berlin to research the speech. The diplomat on the ground, the American diplomat, said, look, don't have him stress the Berlin Wall. They've all gotten used to it now. Don't make him sound like an anti-communist cowboy. But when I talked to some Berliners themselves and asked them about the wall, it was clear that they still hated it every day of their lives. And one woman, lovely woman, but she became very angry and said, if this man Gorbachev is serious with his talk of glasnost and perestroika, he can prove it by coming here and getting rid of this wall. I went back to Washington. I adapted her comment into that line, Mr. Gorbachev, tear down this wall, built the speech around it, went to the president, who liked it very much, and in fact singled out that passage and said, just very gently, he said, you know, that's what I want to say to the people on the other side of that wall. The wall has to come down. But then when the speech went out to staffing, the State Department, the National Security Council, the diplomat on the ground in Berlin, they all fought it. And this went on for some 3 weeks. In the end, it was Reagan and Reagan alone who insisted on delivering that speech, including that passage, and in particular that line. Now, that in a certain sense is a good example of the way we worked for him. I promise you, I wouldn't have drafted that speech for any other politician than working in America. I had worked for George Bush,
right,
whom I admire, when he was vice president, but that wouldn't have been right for him. But when I was working for Reagan, when I heard that woman in Berlin make that comment, I knew immediately he would have responded to that. So I wrote it for him and him alone, and he alone made that speech, insisted on delivering that speech as it was. So the speech was his. The words, in some sense, were mine, but I was drawing on him, his cadences, his ideas, his beliefs, to, in effect, give him himself back.
Thanks very much for that story, Peter Robinson.
My pleasure, Linda.
One of President Ronald Reagan's speechwriters.